Thankful for our Savior this morning. And as Greg preached the charge, as he said, I told him he should have went second, not first, because I had to get right up after him afterwards. And as I was studying, I knew that would be the case anyways. And so I began to study accordingly, thinking of what would be necessary, what would be right to speak on. And so my intention this morning is to not be emotional with you or tell you anything that would be theatrical or try to stir emotion in any certain way, because that's not the gospel, is it? I have one job and one opportunity this morning to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. The Lord did give me a title for a message found in Colossians chapter 2, if you want to be turning there. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. And I titled the message, Hearts Comforted Being Knit Together in Love. Hearts Comforted Being Knit Together in Love. Our hearts are only comforted one way, and that is by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are truly honored and thankful that the Lord hath knit our heart together with so many of you, our brethren here in Apopka, and so many kind things have been spoken to us, many gifts have been given, and many prayers have been prayed for us already, and we continually ask that you would continue that for us. But our hearts are truly knit for only one reason. It is because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, no other reason. The preacher has one job to do, and that is to proclaim this gospel, his glorious gospel, in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire counsel of the mystery of God, as we heard earlier already. If I fail to do that, then I am nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We must preach Christ and the great salvation that he hath wrought for his people. We must preach Christ alone. Now, in this chapter of Colossians, you'll see that Paul, he has a great conflict for the church in Colossae and in Laodicea, where he wants to go and be with them. But we find that he's desiring that their hearts would be comforted. And we know that he's not saying that if I was present with you that your hearts would be comforted. That's the reason. They would be comforted because he would be bringing the gospel to them. No man can bring comfort to you by being in your presence. It is the gospel that comforts the hearts of the believer. To drink of the fountain of living water, to taste and see that the Lord is good. This is the comfort, the only comfort, that Christ is all. So let's read in verse 1 of Colossians 2. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." As Greg has already mentioned this morning, we preach mysterious things, things that are hidden, things that must be revealed, and the Lord is the one that reveals that by the preaching of His gospel. All we declare is what we have been made to believe. We have the riches of the fullness. We have the riches of the full assurance of understanding, he says here. That's what we declare. Well, what is that? Well, the riches is Christ. The riches of the Father is Christ. The hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge that he's talking about, that's Christ also. This is what we declare. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." This is what we declare. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." He reveals, the Father reveals, that He is God. Man wants to think that they're God, but they are not God. They want to think they're in control, but they are not. God reveals His wisdom, which is Christ, and gives us knowledge of Him to the full assurance of understanding that Christ is all. These are the things that must need to be revealed. These are the things that are hidden to man. These can only be seen through the eyes of faith. And Christ tells us, as he's speaking to his followers in Matthew chapter 11, he's explaining the same thing to them. And he says in verse 25, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." Men, I've heard in religion often say, they use the verse that said, "Ye being babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." And recently I was confronted by someone that told me, "Well, you're preaching the meat and we preach the milk." Brethren, the gospel is the milk. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the milk and the meat. It's the fullness of the power of the Lord unto salvation for his people. Christ continues speaking in that chapter and says, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." The gospel is God's gospel, and he reveals it to whomsoever he will. We just declare it. We just declare the fullness of it. These things are hidden. They're past finding out. Men are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But the good news is the Lord reveals his Son to his people. He delights in showing mercy. When Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory," the Lord said, "No man has seen my face and lived, but there is a place nigh unto me. There is a place nigh unto me, the cleft of the rock that he put Moses in." And he said, "When I pass by, you'll see my hinder parts." Well, what's the hinder parts? Well, David put it like this: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's what the Lord has already done. It's what the Lord is doing in the hearts and lives of his people. And it's what he is going to do in the salvation of his people. The Lord delights in revealing his Son to his elect. This morning, if you are searching for an answer for something, the answer is very simple. Christ is all. He is all in salvation. Christ is all in this life and in the life to come. In 2 Timothy 1:9, he says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before time, before the world began, but is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Faith is not to understand the mystery. Faith believes God, the things that are revealed. The Lord brings life and immortality through the light of the gospel. He reveals this through the preaching of the gospel. We understand some things as believers. Paul said that they might have the fullness of the assurance. We understand some things, that he is absolute. And that is our confession. We have knowledge that he is absolute in salvation by what he hath revealed. We have knowledge that he is sovereign by what he hath revealed. We acknowledge that he is the successful savior of his people and we are nothing but sin. We understand that we had nothing to do with this great salvation, that the Lord did it all and he gets all the glory for it. We have understanding that God saved us and then he called us. And these are the things Paul would be declaring unto them that would comfort their hearts. He's done all and he is all. He saved us and then called us. When did he do this? Before the foundation of the world, before time. Now, we don't understand all of this and it is a mystery, but we declare it and we acknowledge and believe that Christ is all because he hath revealed himself to his people. In John chapter 8, the blind man didn't understand everything that had happened to him, did he? And the Pharisees were angry because the Lord Jesus Christ had healed him on the Sabbath day. And they said, we know that this man's a sinner. So they didn't want him to, they wanted him to say what they wanted to hear. And that's all religion everywhere, truly. But they said, give God the glory, not this man, Jesus. Well, Jesus Christ is God, and they couldn't see that. And that's evident that he must be revealed. They said, give God the glory. Give God the glory. Who hath done this? Is he a sinner? We know he's a sinner because he healed you on the Sabbath. And what did our brother say? He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. We have been made to see that we are the benefactors of God's love and mercy and grace, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but because he hath bestowed it upon us. We have peace with God because of Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Because of the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer doesn't understand this in order to believe it. We are made to believe it. And then we have full understanding. We have full assurance of understanding Christ is all. That's all we understand. We understand God is God and that Christ is all. I can't tell you how I became a believer or how the Lord calls me to see. But this one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. We confess the same as our brother did there. This is why Christ said, come unto me, not come to an understanding. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If men are laboring, then they are attempting to have a righteousness of their own before God. That's what men labor to do. Something that God's people have been made to know is they have no righteousness outside of Christ. In Philippians 3:9, it says, and be found in him. That's our hope right there, that we would be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know that God is sovereign and just, our only hope is to have a surety. Our only hope is to have a hiding place that Moses had, a place, a cleft of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be found in him. Not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness that which is of God by faith. This is the only way that we can come to God. The only way, without having our own righteousness. We must come naked, bringing nothing. God's people have been made to understand this. You remember the account of the woman at the well? At the very end of that, it says she left her water pot behind and then went into the city and said, come see a man that showed me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? She was mixed up in many different things and thought that her righteousness was enough to please God. And as soon as the Lord told her, well, whenever he said, go call your husband, she said, well, I have none. I have none. He said, well, you speak truly. You've had five, and the one you have is not your own. And she said, sir, I believe you're a prophet. As soon as she knew that, she threw her religious ace card right down in front of him and said, well, we worship in this mountain, but you say Jerusalem's where we ought to worship. Now, we know that the Samaritans were half-breed Jews, and they worshiped in Mount Gerizim, which in Deuteronomy chapter 11 is the mountain that God told Moses and the Israelites to bless. So they believed that they were worshiping God in his mountain, but they were worshiping him in the form of a dog and a cat and the sun, the moon, and the donkey. Five different ways they were worshiping God, and they called him Jehovah. That's what they called him. As soon as the Lord revealed unto her that he was Christ, she said, well, we know when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. He said, I am. That's what he told her. He that speaketh to you and standing in front of you right now, that's he is. I am. As soon as she heard that, God saved her right there. And she left her water pot. What was that? That was her righteousness. That was her confession before God up until that point. That was everything that you can encase about it being what she was offering up. She left all of that behind and said, come see a man that showed me all things I ever did. Is this not Christ? That's how we come to Christ. We leave our water pots behind. You remember blind Bartimaeus, I'm sure, whenever the Lord called unto him. It says he dropped his robe. He left his robe to come. Turn with me to that passage, if you will, in Mark chapter 10. He came to the Lord naked. This is the only way that the Lord receives sinners. The good news is if you see yourself as naked, needing a Savior, it's because he has made you thus. The Lord came to save sinners, not the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. That's the good news of the gospel, is he makes you a sinner and he gives you the Savior. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, and he says, and they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when they heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus understood his only hope was that God would have mercy upon him. That's what the Lord does for his people. He makes them realize that that is our only hope, is that God would have mercy upon us. In verse 48 says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Here is what we hope for, brethren. That the Lord would stand still and call us unto us, that he would fetch us. The wretched, stinky, dirty, filthy, blind Bartimaeus had been sitting by the wayside begging. There's no doubt that he reeked in and of himself. His clothes were not washed. They were rags. They were filthy rags. Had to be. But our hope is that he would see us in the same way that he saw Bartimaeus and have mercy upon us. Our hope is that he would strip us of all of our righteousness. He would cause us to call upon Christ right now. Have mercy upon me. He would bring us to him. The verse goes on and says, and they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Brethren, this is the same comfort, the exact same comfort that Apostle Paul was talking about in our text in Colossians chapter 2. This is the full assurance of understanding Paul was referring to. He is God and we are the sinner. This blind man did not offer himself in any way, shape or form unto God. He wasn't trying to take the first step. In religion, I heard men say many times, if you take the first step, God will take the rest. That's not true. God has to do it all. And it is finished. There's the good news of the gospel. He didn't say, I'm going to try. If you'll do your part, I'll do my part. He knew one thing. Christ was passing by and he could not get to him on his own. He had one need, for Christ to heal him. Bartimaeus could not come to Christ because he was blind. Do we understand that most of the time when Jesus was walking around, he was enthronged by people? If Bartimaeus was trying to get to the Lord, he would have not made it. He would have been caught up in some other way or stumbled or cast down or pushed to the side. They told him to be quiet as it was already. Here we are, brethren, dead in trespasses and in sin, filthy. And Christ is passing by right now. Many things prevented us, just as it prevented him. The law prevented us from getting to God. Our sin separated us from the Lord. But the good news of the gospel is Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, kept the law perfectly. He kept the law perfectly for his elect people. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. God plunged the sword of justice into his Son, redeeming all those for whom he lived and died, redeeming all of those for whose sin he was bearing. As we begin to cry out for mercy, the law no longer cries out justice. It cries out satisfied by his sacrifice. Paul explains it like this in Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When is now? See, that's my hope. Now is right now. And now is right now. And now is right now again. And it's always going to be, there is now, therefore no condemnation. Now, when Paul says, who walk not after the flesh and after the Spirit, walking not after the flesh is not the condition whereby men come to God and be saved. It is the evidence. He didn't say, if you walk not by flesh, you'll be saved. He said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is a cause and effect men have backwards, and so many, all the religions have it backwards. Truly, if you do this, God will do this. No, the reason you walk not after the flesh is because there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Men will take that and say, okay, all I have to do is confess the Lord Jesus. You can't confess the Lord Jesus unless the Lord Jesus hath been revealed to you. And you will confess him if he's been revealed to you. Men take the things of the Lord and they turn them around backwards and put the responsibility on man. The gospel does the opposite. It put the responsibility on Christ, and he successfully saved his people from their sin. Walking after the flesh, brethren, is attempting to come to God by our own works. It's attempting to offer our own righteousness up before God, trying to keep the law, just as Cain did, bringing the works of our hands to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation rather than clinging to him. Only Christ pleased God. Only Christ pleases God. His sacrifice, not mine. His faith. We don't even have faith. It's his faith that he bestows. His prayer. Christ is all in salvation. Now, walking after the Spirit is doing just that, looking unto Christ in all for salvation. Confessing that whatever he says is true and whatever he does is right and good. That it is Christ's faith that hath been bestowed upon us, not something that we generate or something that we merit or something that we cause to happen. If Christ's faith has been bestowed upon us, it cannot fail. That's why we cannot walk according to the Spirit. I'm sorry, the flesh. We must walk according to the Spirit because he's given us the faith of Christ. If he loses one sheep, then he is a failure. But he will not lose one sheep. He cannot deny himself, the scripture says. He cannot deny himself, and he saved his people from their sin. Paul continues in Romans chapter 8 and says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending forth his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is our hope, brethren. This is past tense. It's fulfilled. It's already been fulfilled. Right now, there's no condemnation. This is what knits our heart together. This is what knits our hearts together, the preaching of the gospel. It's not that my family's super lovable and you guys fell in love with us because we're nice and friendly and we've done things for each other. No, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God that's been bestowed upon us. It's the love of God that constrains us and draws us unto Him. And this love, we can't help but love the brethren because He first loved us. We recognize the same love in one another that He has given unto us by His Son. His love. He gets all the glory in salvation and all the glory in all of our relationships. If it's left up to us, I would have ruined every relationship I have with every one of you. But He has kept me from that. He has kept me from making a fool of myself all the time. I'm certain I've done it several times. But He has caused us to have love one for another because of His gospel. The reason our hearts are knit together is because we have the same confession about who Christ Jesus is, that He is all. We have the fullness of the understanding that God is God and we are not. This is our assurance that Christ redeemed, that He didn't try. And once God reveals these hidden things, by faith we acknowledge the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, that these things are too wonderful for me. I can't attain to it. They're too high. I don't understand it, but I believe it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy. It's not a controversial topic. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. You can't explain how God was manifest in the flesh. We just believe it, don't we? Because God said it. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached on unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. That's our hope. We don't understand all of that, but we believe it. This is the full assurance of understanding and acknowledging of the mystery at the same time. When He died, His elect died in Him. When He was resurrected, we were resurrected in Him. When He was received up into glory and sat down, all His elect were seated in Him. And they are seated right now in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. This is our one hope. We are in Him, and that's why our hearts are knit together. Our brother Bartimaeus, he only had this one hope as well, didn't he? This same hope that Christ would have mercy. Now notice in verse 47, you still have your Bibles open there. First it says, he cried out, and as they hushed him, as they began to tell him to be quiet, he cried out the more a great deal. He says, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He had the full assurance of understanding that Christ is the only one that could save him. We have the same assurance, don't we? If God's going to save us, He's going to have to do it all. And He did it all. He did it all. We cry out the same thing as Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. They kept telling him to hush and be quiet. He said, you don't understand. I have to have Christ. And that is our confession. We have to come and hear. We have to, just as our sister the Samaritan said, come see a man, told me all things I ever did. And just like Bartimaeus, have mercy upon me. We do the same thing by coming here each and every service that the doors are open. That is our desire, that the Lord would pass by and have mercy upon us. If He doesn't save me, I'm lost forever. If the Lord ever makes you a sinner, you will flee to Christ in this regard. Forsaking all others, counting all things as dung, that you may win Christ. That's what Paul said. I've counted all things dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. You know, there's three reasons that men will not come to Christ. There may be many more than three, but there's three primary reasons. Their righteousness, number one. Their relationships, number two. And physical things, number three. Now, their righteousness is them with their power. They have their own power in salvation. That's their righteousness. They will not renounce their own power, just like Cain wouldn't. That's one reason men will not come to God. The other one is their relationships. They're afraid of losing family members. They're afraid of losing friends or losing their position with whoever it may be. When my family moved down here, we forsook many different things, but the relationships that I've had in my family, my own parents, we forsook a lot of that because of the gospel. We don't have fellowship in the things of God because there is no fellowship outside the gospel. It's not possible for me to fellowship with someone that doesn't believe the gospel. There is no common ground, brethren. I don't speak that pridefully or arrogantly. I speak that truthfully. Christ is all. And if we don't have that in common, our hearts are not knit together. Amen. Men will not come to him because of relationships. They're afraid of losing their family. They're afraid of losing physical things, the things of pleasure of this life. The Lord said this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 35, "For I am come to set man at variance." That means sever, to cut asunder, to cut in two, against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes, be they of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The good news of the gospel is this. Christ said, he that has forsaken father and mother and sister and brother and lands, houses and lands, for the gospel's sake, for my sake and the gospel's, in this life he'll receive 100-fold. That's exactly what my confession is to you. We moved to New Smyrna Beach and attended this church in Apopka, and we've received 100-fold that which we left behind. There's no, I know for a good example, many times people's offered up our house to us when we're trying to go through this move already. You want to come stay with us? What I have is yours, brother. I see that the Lord's knit our heart together unto that. I understand what the Lord's saying there. But then he goes on to say, and in the world to come, eternal life. The reason that we forsake these things, don't take that as we are to forsake all these things to have eternal life. We forsake the things of this world because we've been shut up to Christ. He has caused us to forsake that which was prior and cleave unto him. The Lord tells us why men won't come in John chapter 5 and verse 40. "Ye will not come to me that you might have life." Why is that? In John 10, he tells them, "You are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." As soon as the Lord was done speaking in John chapter 10, told them, "I and my Father are one," at the very end of that, they took up stones to stone him. They did not want Christ. They said, "Away with this man." They were threatened by his authority, as Greg mentioned this morning, the authority that he had. They were going to lose their popularity with people. They were going to lose the pleasures of this life. They were going to lose the power they had with the people. John 12:43 says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And we know what the praise of men, all the praise of man is. It's adoration, it's admiration, it's gratification, and so on. People love to hear, "Well, he's a good man." The believer doesn't want to hear that. The believer wants to hear of Christ. And he wants to be reminded that he's a sinner, as Greg mentioned already this morning. That's what the believer wants to hear. Tell them they're grass. Isaiah 40. Greg, you already said that this morning. That's the praise of man, isn't it? To tell people they're a good man. He's just there's kind people go to hell all the time. Greg would preach that to us Wednesday night. Kind people, according to man's standards, good people go to hell all the time. There's none good, no, not one. So what is the praise of God? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What is the praise of God? And do you love the praise of God, is my question to you. What is the praise of God? "He hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Confessing what God hath said is the praise of God. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That is the praise of God. If we are made sinners, we desire the praise of God, which all glory goes to Christ. All the praise goes to Christ. Nothing comes to us. If the Lord makes us a sinner, we will come confessing that. Why? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, he says, "Because he hath given us repentance towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ." God hath caused us to understand who God is by changing our mind about who he is. And he has given us faith toward God to believe in him. Now, faith just looks to Christ and nothing else. Faith comes from Christ and it just looks to Christ always. It is not that we understand doctrine, and it is not that we have come to an understanding of anything other than Christ is all. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed. In 2 Timothy 1:12, not what I believed. Faith looks to the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as all. This is how he has knit our hearts together in love. He's given us the same focal point, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He left his righteousness. He left everything that he was prior. He was stinky. He was dirty. The scripture says our righteousness are as filthy rags. He knew that. He knew he had to know that because he left it behind. He did not want to bring that. He dropped his robe and came to Christ naked. This is the only way you can come to Christ. Naked. Empty. Destitute. Understanding you're polluted. Full of putrefying sores. And then you know what happens? Once he gives you repentance and you see that, he gives you faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he fills you up with him. He covers you in his righteousness. He gives you life. He makes you pure. To the believer, to the ones the Lord hath chosen before the foundation of the world, he closes up their sores with the balm of Gilead. By his own blood he washes us, robes us in his righteousness, and he presented us, already has presented us, to the Father as perfectly righteous. In verse 51, he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, what will that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now men talk about faith, and I've already touched on this morning, but men talk about faith as if it's something that we're capable of producing. As if it's something that we can come into the understanding of and we can grow it. I've heard the expression many times, exercise your faith in religion, like you're going to the gym every time you go to the church and your faith gets bigger. That's not true. That is not true. If I produce it, then it's mine. If I produce faith, then it's mine. But that would mean that Ephesians chapter 4 is not true. There is one faith. There is one Lord. There is one baptism. If there's one faith, that means that we are saved by the faith of Christ and he bestows his faith upon his people. The Lord does not give opportunity to everyone on the face of the earth for salvation. There is a gospel declaration that goes forth generally, but he never reveals his son to anyone in vain. He only reveals his son to those who were placed in him before time ever began. This singular faith that he gives the believer always looks to Christ. It comes from God. When he gives this faith, immediately we just believe God. A believer must believe, or the faith of Christ would fail. Do we see that? That's impossible. Christ's faith will endure. A believer cannot not believe. Greg said that many times. I repeat a lot of things Greg say because it's true, but it's also wonderful to my soul. A believer cannot not believe. Well, that gives me great comfort in knowing I can't mess it up. Because if I'm left to myself, I will mess it up. I know myself. I'll go right back to the robes and pick them right back up. I know myself. So our prayer is, Lord, knit our hearts together unto the gospel and leave us not to ourselves. That's our prayer. Now, in closing, go back to our text in Colossians chapter 2. How do I know if my heart's been knit together unto his and knit together unto one another's? Well, in Colossians 2, verse 2, let's read it again. Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, into the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our hearts are comforted and knit together because we have understanding that Jesus Christ saved his people, that it is finished. That is why we're comforted. That is how we know our hearts have been knit together. Our confession is the gospel of God's sovereign electing grace. We acknowledge that it is a mystery, and we bow to Christ. We believe it with every bit of the faith that the Lord has given us to believe it. The Lord causes us to believe it. We acknowledge that He is the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. We're not looking for any other wisdom. We're not looking for any other knowledge. He is the wisdom of God. We just want Christ because Christ is all. He reveals His hidden treasure, Christ, to His people. This is our comfort. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, being confident, I'm fully persuaded. That's what he's saying. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Will perform it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if He begun the work, He will perform it? Truth, Lord, I do. And my hope is that He begun it in me. My hope is He begun it in you. And we know that He will save. He has saved His people from their sin. If He has done that, if He has begun the good work in you, He will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, He has knit your hearts together. He has knit our hearts together because He hath made us. He hath caused us to believe that. And He gets all the glory. Amen. Father, bless Your word. Cause our hearts to be knit unto You, knit together in love, the love of Your gospel. Reveal Yourself unto our hearts and leave us not to ourselves. Pray that Thy will would be done in all things. In Christ's name, amen.
Verse 6 says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Received Him as a little child, received Him as a sinner, and we continue to walk the same walk of faith, completely dependent upon Him. I love it when I'm able to enter into a message, Caleb, I could identify with blind Bartimaeus, and that verse you brought out, the Lord told him to go His way. And then He said He followed Him in the way. His way was Christ's way. What a hope. That woman at the well, such a blessing. He told her everything she ever did. Lord saves you. You'll know that everything you ever did on your own was sin. And everything you ever did in Christ was perfect righteousness. There's our hope. We're going to observe the Lord's table and pray the Lord will bless that to our hearts. Tom, you're going to sing
18 in the spiral.
18. Let's stand together. Number 18.